From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1967, just a few years after Atlanta Public Schools integrated, seven African-American students made history when they became the first black students at the elite Westminster Schools in Buckhead. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to hear from the author of a new book that highlights desegregation of private schools. Budgets run tight in Georgia public schools, especially in rural communities. Some have been forced to reduce arts programs over the years to shift precious dollars to math and reading. Now they're getting some help from the Georgia Department of Education. It's funding a total of $260,000 for rural districts to help them expand fine arts opportunities. Jessica Booth is a fine arts program specialist from the Department of Education and is joining me in the studio. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Laura Gregory is an arts educator. She's from Wayne County Middle Schools, and she's joining us on the line. Welcome, Laura.
Good morning. Hi.
Laura, I want to ask you first, what's the state of arts in Wayne County Schools?
Prior to this year, we had one art teacher that served two middle schools and one art teacher that served the high school. And this year, we've added five art teachers that serve all five of our elementary schools.
What is covered in arts programming?
It's the visual arts right now. We also have band and music, but our band program is just marching band and concert band. They've also added a guitar class. So we have a little bit in the music, but mostly we're talking about the visual arts right now.
Well, you added some teachers and added some classes, so it sounds like you're on the upswing there?
We are. It's made a nice upswing.
Well, Jessica, local control is, of course, a guiding principle in Georgia education. Communities make their own budget choices, which leads to some pretty tough decisions for superintendents and principals. What are you hearing from educators when they have to reduce arts education?
The narrative I'm hearing is not so much about reducing arts ed as the changes that have happened in the last few years, especially since the Every Student Succeeds Act. And that kind of corresponded to the work that our state superintendent Woods has been doing. What I'm seeing is people wanting a resurgence of arts education, especially with Georgia having such a big creative industry right now. And that people are excited about the opportunities that have been afforded by both ESSA and the Department of Education to increase those programs and to kind of get things back on track since we did have some issues during the recession.
You mentioned Richard Woods. He's the state superintendent of schools, and he's an advocate for arts education. He's also a Republican, a party which in general has been more skeptical of government support for the arts. Well, what does he think choir and drama and painting bring to education?
Superintendent Woods has over and over again said that all students in Georgia deserve a whole child education and that the fine arts is a part of that that's integral. In our state strategic plan for schools, it says we want Georgia students K-12 to be able to be ready to learn, lead, and live. And the first sentence of the live section of our state strategic plan talks to the fact that we believe every student in K-12 deserves an arts education.
Well, can you recap some of the research that shows connections between arts education and other academic outcomes?
I think arts education has intrinsic value on its own, but also we've seen over and over again that participation in the arts increases everything from students' SAT scores to their literacy and learning. There's been so many studies in one of my former school districts I worked in. We did an intervention with theater programs in kindergarten could increase literacy skills in those students, and we studied them the next 2 years afterwards. And we saw that in that group of students that received that intervention, in comparison to their peers who were our control group, that they scored above and beyond in literacy skills, even during first and second grade after they had stopped receiving that theater intervention.
Mm-hmm. So, Laura, for you, do you see this kind of behavioral changes on the ground when kids are learning and doing more creative activities?
I do. Our students have a little bit more time to put their focus where it needs to go, and they have an outlet whenever they come to the art classroom that they can express themselves in a different way. They're able to put those creative energies, and they have a little bit more freedom to do those things rather than it being purely academic like in their classrooms.
Mm-hmm. And you, why does arts education often end up on the chopping block over other subjects?
Well, we can't cut our academics, so whenever budgets get tight, they look at the connections classes and the extra things that we offer. And art itself sometimes can be a very pricey area because you have so many materials that you need for a lot of students. Each of the teachers teach all students in all the schools by the end of the school year. So you're looking at a lot of materials that are needed to make that program work. And a lot of times the arts end up being an individual endeavor. So it's mainly, you end up putting a lot of money into a single one focus kind of thing if you look at it purely as art being sole on its own. But if you look at how arts enhance other things, it becomes where the arts are a vital part of what we're doing in the community.
Well, to follow up on that idea of outcomes being better, there's a study published in the journal The Arts in Psychotherapy, and researchers found art therapy helped kids with behavioral problems. So working closely with children, do you see any behavioral changes when they are learning and doing these more creative activities?
They do. They have more hands-on, gives them that opportunity, and they get to be able to have even larger arm movement and things of that nature, like in art therapy. They are using all of their self, not just one part. So I think our community also offers to our school system an artist therapy program through the Wayne County Arts Council in our local area. So we've actually had a lot of opportunities to involve the community as well within the school system.
Well, I want to get into that, but I'm wondering if you have any stories of students who did struggle academically but maybe did well in art.
Yes, I have students who the visual arts was an area in which they could excel the most. They were able to put their work out there and their ideas in a visual format, and they were seen, and they got a lot of praise and a lot of reaffirmation from their student body, and it brought them to a different level where they felt needed and wanted in the school system and within the school with their peers.
Jessica, is this anything that you've witnessed as well? I know you're in on the not so much on the ground level.
Yeah, I've spent the last 10 years in arts administration, but I taught middle school, high school, and college visual arts prior. I think all of us have these stories of students. My last high school that I taught in had a very high English language learner population. And I said, you know, if the students can't speak English, please send them to me, because it was one place that they could see what was going to be created and still be really successful. And it also gave them opportunities with their peers to talk to each other that they probably would not have gotten in some of the other even electives to help increase their language literacy and their learning.
Well, these START grants, that's the name of the program from the Department of Education, are a way for the state to help give art programs a boost. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, the START grants were created out of some of the flexibility from the Every Student Succeeds Act for Georgia's state plan. And because we have put an emphasis on making sure that students all have access to whole child education, which whole child really is just encompassing STEM and STEAM, the arts, world languages, the idea is that it's not just math and English, which is what No Child Left Behind, the former federal programming, really concentrated on. And with START grants, we saw that districts, especially in rural areas, really wanted to have robust arts education programs, and they wanted their students to be able to be involved in Georgia's creative industries and the creative economy. But they really needed a boost. So the idea was that this would kind of give them a jump start of either starting new arts programs, like adding additional classes, or enhancing existing art programs to make them more robust. And we saw requests from all across the state of everything from teacher training in order to get the teachers more prepared to be ready for these creative industries in our state, to supplies for art, musical instruments, advanced placement training for the teachers. So our requests are kind of all over the map. It even paid for part-time instructors in some areas or supplemented the salary of teachers.
That's Jessica Booth. She's a fine arts program specialist and arts educator. And Laura Gregory, they both work with students in Wayne County, where schools are receiving grants to expand arts education, especially in rural areas. And you mentioned this is part of the whole broader Partnership for Rural Growth initiatives. What else is included in that?
Rural Growth Initiatives is a focus of the Department of Education right now to make sure that students in our rural areas are getting opportunities that our metro areas have. And you kind of wonder, if we pay the same per child in for state education, how do these inequities happen? And it really is just the number of students can only support so many things going on in a school. Mm-hmm. So besides the START grants and a push for more arts education, the Rural Initiative is also doing things like paying for advanced placement training for teachers all through the rural parts of the state in science, mathematics, English, and history. It is also creating a leadership academy for principals so that they can have a cohort, so that they can talk about issues that happen in only rural areas. And it's also added two STEM and STEAM specialists at the state level who are working with the Southwest and Southeastern RESAs, which is Regional Education Service Agencies of the Department of Education. And we've added a second fine arts specialist also at this time through this, these fundings.
So STEAM is adding arts to the STEM education level. Well, Laura, how about for you? You know, students around metro areas have opportunities. They can visit museums in Atlanta or in Savannah or Columbus or some of the bigger places, some of the bigger cities. Do you have community alternatives to that to help you expose students to arts outside of the school?
Well, we've taken a field trip one time to the high. I took all of the high school art students one time to the high, and that was a wonderful opportunity for them. We've also done field trips that go to Savannah, because we're only an hour and a half from Savannah from where we live right now. But the our community, Wayne County Arts Council, has brought in the National Gallery of Art. We have all of those materials that they loan out, and we use those within the school. And then we also serve a lot of the needs after-school programs at the Arts Council. We have not only after-school art lessons of the, you know, the traditional art lessons, we have a drama program, we have a music program. We also have a opportunity for the children who work in the technology. We acquired a TV station, the local community TV station here, Channel 16, and we are working with the technology program at the school for those students to use that outlet for just local community broadcasting.
So communities are really involved in this idea.
Yes.
Well, look, in the world of school budgets, $260,000 is not a fortune. So your district there in Wayne County getting $10,000, what is it going to do with that money?
We're focusing that on the professional development for the teachers that are going to be teaching in those programs. Some of those teachers are not traditional art teachers. They have an interest, or they have a second degree, and they were teaching in elementary level. And so they are moved into that teaching position. Tablet, each one of them to have a tablet to learn different things within the using art with a tablet so that they can be ahead of the student curve there. I know some of our students use tablets very easily, and these teachers would have that opportunity to learn some programs and things of that nature. Also, to get membership with the National Gallery, the National Art Educators Association and Georgia Art Educators Association, and to attend a Georgia Art Educators Association conference. And those things are very vital in knowing that you're not an island unto yourself whenever you're able to get out with the other teachers in that area. Since you're one teacher at that school and that's the only teacher that teaches that, that gives them the opportunity to network. And we've been getting together here in Wayne County once a quarter to get together and discuss what's going on in the schools, what can we make it better, how can we have that vertical collaboration. And our school system has been very generous in allowing us to do that so that we're not so isolated at our schools.
Yeah. Well, Jessica, what did the Department of Education have in mind with this $260,000 grant? Are they supposed to serve as seed money or fund temporary projects?
Really, it was up to the local district how they wanted to spend it. But what Wayne County is doing is a perfect example of our best hope, is that we wanted to have something that would have lasting impact with the students. And doing teacher staff development, especially in a subject like visual arts in this case, or music in some of the other grants, or theater, is not something that No Child Left Behind funded. It only funded staff training for courses that were considered core. So this will affect students for years and years to come, that the teachers are getting trained, they're actually working together, they've created a PLC.
PLC?
Professional Learning Community.
Okay. So this is a big challenge for teachers. They often speak about the pressure of performing to test, in scenarios for testing, arts. Arts is not usually generally a part of that. So are there ways or approaches to testing creativity?
I think there's lots of people researching testing creativity right now. And I know through the Gifted program, they have a test that actually, the Torrance test that actually does test creativity a little bit. I think it's so evident in everything that's done in the arts that it doesn't necessarily always have to be tested, and it's okay for it to have intrinsic value on its own. I think the things that we see through the arts, like students getting self-confidence, students being creative, being confident, being able to speak to their peers, those are those soft skills that employers are saying over and over again are actually more important sometimes than what they've come into the position with having studied.
All right, we're up against a break, but as we mentioned, Georgians value local control of schools. So what is your argument to the people who have that control to support arts education?
I think we're in a unique situation that the federal government is supporting arts education. Our state school superintendent and state school board really see that arts education is a way for our students to be the most successful people. But also that no matter what students do, in Georgia right now, we have a $62.5 billion creative industry. And we need to have students that are prepared to take those positions that are here locally and not in other places in the country. So if you don't understand its intrinsic value or the value it has for society, I think that it has value as a future career for our state is a big plus for folks.
Jessica Booth, thank you very much for speaking with us. Jessica is a fine arts program specialist and arts educator. And Laura Gregory, thank you there in Wayne County. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Well, that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor, and Amelia Brock. Alex Word is our engineer. Today we get help from Alec Kaslow, Don Smith, our Dean of Grammar, Amy Kiley, Senior Producer. And you can join our conversation. What is arts education worth, or what was it to you? We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can email us on secondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks for spending some time with On Second Thought.